damn late. I had to stop by the Wax Museum again and give the finger to FDR.
We know Al-Qaeda, Zawahiri, is supporting the opposition in Syria. Are we supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria?
It's a proud day for America. And by God, we've kicked Vietnam Syndrome once and for all. Thank you very, very much.
I say it again, you've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked.
These witnesses are trying to simply deny things that just about everybody else accepts as fact.
He came, he saw, he died.
Well, we ain't killing they army, but we killing them. We be on CNN like, say our name, bitch, say it three times.
The meeting of the largest armies in the history of the world. Then there's going to be an invasion.
All right, you guys, well, a thing that's not true was said, and so Gareth Porter wrote an article about it, and so now it's time for me to interview him about his article he wrote about the thing that's not true. Welcome back to the show, Gareth. How are you?
Hello, Scott. Glad to be back. I'm fine.
You're good at your job.
Well, thanks. I needed that. Yeah. I can use all the encouragement I can get.
Yeah, well, you got plenty here, man. Interview number 320 or so. U.S. states, we weren't hacked by Russians in 2016. That's the headline at the American Conservative magazine. Essentially, what happened here was the Senate came out with this report based on this old DHS report that you already debunked a solid year ago. Is that about it?
That's the background, exactly, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Russians, I guess that means the communists, KGB, trying to kill us and disrupt our society by making Black people think that they're the subject of racism and stuff like that. I read it at NBC.com. Go ahead and tell us what it was. I guess, first of all, don't let me just make fun of the whole thing. The Senate Intelligence Committee came out with this report saying that the Russians hacked essentially all 50 states or tried to.
This is the most astonishing thing about this report, that they actually, you know, made the argument that that Russia probably hacked all 50 states, and it was based on nothing more than the say-so of the opinion of the Obama administration's cybersecurity specialist in the NSC, who didn't know anything more than that he just felt that that was the case, because there was no pattern to the apparent or alleged hacking or targeting, shall we say, that he could find. So the lack of a pattern was used to suggest that it's probable that Russia simply hacked all 50 states, or tried to hack all 50 states, which is perhaps the most absurd claim that I've ever seen in an official document issued by a major congressional committee that's supposed to be doing serious investigation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I've read some goofy stuff in some of their reports before.
I corrected on that. But anyway, that's an impression that I have.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely otherworldly, the amount, well, the level of stupidity, I guess, that they presume we must have to buy into this stuff.
That's certainly true. And you know, I mean, the point additionally that one has to make about the claim that Russia probably, or simply the claim that they did try to hack 50 states into their electoral websites, is that, you know, the Intelligence Committee report doesn't even substantiate its more fundamental claim, the one that it's more serious about, that the Russians tried to hack or targeted, as they say, 21 states, at least 21 states is the way they put it. And as you say, I did debunk that one. I've forgotten when it was, more than a year ago, I guess. And I've written about it twice, in fact, but this time around, it's even more egregious for them to make that claim, because in fact, I mean, the real headline in this story, the headline should have been something like you know, the states themselves refute the claim made in the Intelligence Committee's report that, you know, about the attempt to target 21 states, because the states themselves, although not all of them clearly articulated a position in the or are clearly shown to articulate a position in the report, those that did, which I believe is roughly 17, if I understood, if I remember correctly, you know, none of them actually support the contention of the report of the DHS, of the committee, that that they were hacked by the Russians or that they were targeted by the Russians. And most of them clearly, their report clearly refutes it, suggesting that either there was no sign of any attempt to hack into their websites, or, you know, certainly not by anybody that could be identified as Russian, or if there were attempts to break in or to scan, scanning was the most common term used. It was simply that there was a basically it was using a tool to try to scan the website that was that it had been identified by the FBI as a tool associated with the Illinois break-in, the break-in that actually stole some 200,000 personal files of registered voters. So of course the Intelligence Committee and the DHS have always claimed that that tool, using that tool, is somehow evidence of Russian hacking or a hacking attempt. But in fact, you know, the tools that they identified, one was Acunetics, and the other one SQL, the SQL tool. They're common tools used by all hackers or attempted hackers on the internet. I mean, these are just absolutely the most common tools available to anybody who wants to try to scan or to probe a website on the internet. So it's absolutely not evidence of any Russian attribution or justification for a Russian attribution of these probes and scans. And so, you know, this is really a perfect case of just how the system, including the Senate Intelligence Committee, the DHS, and the FBI, have promoted this phony idea about Russian hacking into the election systems of the United States.
Hold on just one second, be right back. So you're constantly buying things from Amazon.com. Well, that makes sense. They bring it right to your house. So what you do, though, is click through from the link in the right-hand margin at scotthorton.org, and I'll get a little bit of a kickback from Amazon's end of the sale. Won't cost you a thing. Nice little way to help support the show. Again, that's right there in the margin at scotthorton.org. Hey guys, check it out. Investigative reporter Ken Silverstein is launching a fundraising campaign to support his writing of a new book about Marco Rubio, an effort to overthrow the government of Venezuela. This will be no defense of the Maduro regime, which Silverstein opposes, but is certain to be devastating to its American enemies who are operating far outside of their constitutional purview. Help support Ken's effort to get to the bottom of the interest behind America's plot to overthrow the government of Venezuela at patreon.com/DCBabylon. Hey guys, you got to check out thebumpersticker.com. You play in a band, you need stickers? You go to thebumpersticker.com. Maybe you have a business and you need stickers? You go to thebumpersticker.com. They'll take care of all this stuff. I created the company back, I don't know, a generation ago. I sold it to Rick McGinnis and he's done a great job with the company ever since. They got what you need over there at thebumpersticker.com. All right, now, are you sure this is really... you mentioned the SQL map and this other Acunetics, or these
Acunetics,
and how these are very common. Is that it though? I mean, there's not a more specific accusation tying this to the GRU somehow at all? Just,
well, you know, they, the
a pattern of activity.
The thing that happens in this report is that the Senate Intelligence Committee quotes the DHS in every case of a state which they cover, as saying that the GRU attempted to hack into this state's election or into the state's websites, public-facing websites. And so that's sort of the formula that's repeated over and over again. But there's nothing more by way of serious evidence that's offered for this. I mean, they cite the IP addresses. I didn't mention the IP addresses. That's the other thing. Mm-hmm. There were a few cases where the IP address that was used for the Illinois heist, if you want to call it that, were found in scans or efforts to scan a public-facing website in one of the states. My recollection is that possibly it was five or six, maybe four, possibly four or five, that did in fact mention the IP address in the state reports. But that's it. Basically, it's the IP address and the tools, the hacking tools that were used in the Illinois case, which the FBI then sent out to the states, to all the states, or at least the 21 states. I'm not sure they sent it to all the states, but they sent it to these 21 states and asked them to report back to them on any evidence that they could find in checking their files that either the tools or the IP address, one of the IP addresses that was used in Illinois, was found in their own case. And so, you know, that's, you know, some of the states reported back that, yes, they found one of the IP addresses or the hacking tool that had been used against a public-facing website. But in a very few cases, it was both. It was a website that was related to the election as well as other websites. So you know, that was the state of the sum total of their evidence, basically.
And then the IP address was tied directly to GRU headquarters on Spy Street in Moscow, right?
I'm not sure that that's the case. I'm not sure that that's the case at all. They didn't say that. There's nothing that said that in this report. I've not seen it anywhere else.
I think you said that of the one or a few of them were traced to this server in Siberia that was apparently privately.
Oh, that's a different case. Yes, of course. Different question.
Oh, okay.
You're right. Of course, there is this this argument that, well, after all, these IP addresses were traced to a server in Siberia, and that somehow that could be a suggestion that somehow the Russians were involved. But of course, in fact, that's not evidence of that at all, because a server located in a particular location has many IP addresses that are not connected with that with that country, of course. Some of them may be, but some of them are not. And you know, this point has been made by cybersecurity specialists on more than one occasion. And the fact is that the Intelligence Committee and the FBI are perfectly aware that this is not a real ironclad indicator of Russian involvement, Russian government involvement at all. In fact, there's a quote that I have in my story, in the report, that actually indicates that the DHS and the Senate Intelligence Committee are perfectly well aware of this. It said that, I don't have the exact words in my head, but it said something to the effect that the IP address could be an indicator of a possible Russian involvement.
Yeah, I have it here. Provided some indications the activity might be attributable to the Russian government.
That's extremely weak, weak. And to my mind, it's the most damning thing in the entire report.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, so who cares if a house of cards is built on quicksand? It can look good in a snapshot on CNN for a minute. Senate report reveals that the Russians attacked every voting system in all 50 states. We're at their mercy. Whatever are we going to do to defend ourselves from this aggression?
Yeah, well, of course, this is one of the worst cases ever of abuses by the mass media. I mean, the New York Times story is absolutely the worst. The David Sanger was the author or co-author of that story, in which the headline blared out, Russia, I've got Iran in my mind, Russia hacked all 50 states. And of course, this was not even clarified in the story itself. Sanger went ahead on the premise that the intelligence report actually showed that Iran had hacked into 50 states.
Sure.
Hacked 50 states.
Yeah. You know what? Some artist should do a comic book about David Sanger. You could have so much fun with something like that.
Advertise somebody if they're crazy enough to want to do that.
Yeah, man. Make a real star out of him, you know?
Yeah. Well, he deserves special treatment. He's been doing this for more than two decades, if I remember correctly, or at least almost two decades in any case.
All right. Well, now, so take us back to a year ago, because, again, it's the new Senate report essentially recycling this old DHS report from a year ago that you already debunked then, right?
Yeah, it's essentially the same storyline, but with this new twist of the 50 states claim, plus, sort of having a state by state roundup, not all the 21, because there's a couple of states that there's not a clear report on them. But basically, it's a report on the 21 states and the claim of the DHS, in each case the GRU was behind it, but that's the only real new element in it. Plus, I think they went so far as to, they have a long quote, most of which is redacted, from the report that had to do with the IP addresses and the. I guess it was about the IP addresses as evidence. And as I say, I think they went too far and they actually included this quote, which is quite damning. The rest of it, we don't know what it was, but it appears that some of the redacted material were arguments that had been made against using the IP address as evidence about Russian attribution.
And what were those?
Well, we don't know because they were redacted. We don't know what the arguments were, but the sentence that we're talking about here begins with "however." Uh-huh. So that suggested that that this sentence was following some arguments that were against the idea that it could be used to attribute this to Russia.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. All right. And now back a year ago, you went and actually talked to some of these officials at the state level, and then some of them had talked to some other media sources, and you have a pretty good rundown here of, I guess they made the biggest deal about Illinois. So you have some quotes there, but you also have Oregon and California and Arizona, I think. Can you take us through some of that?
Well, yeah. Arizona is the most interesting one because it was highlighted in the report. As a case where the FBI thought they really had him here, they thought there were two cases where the Russians were involved in efforts to hack the electoral system. One of them was a local official who had gotten his internet credentials stolen by a spearfishing operation. And the other one was what was claimed to be a hack of an election, of a public-facing election site. Well, it turns out that the case of the stolen credentials was not could not be attributed to the Russians after all. The FBI backed down on that, but they continued to argue that the other one, the public facing internet site, was a Russian operation. The only problem was that it turned out when the Arizona officials confronted the DHS with their denial that any of their election sites had been hacked into or there was any serious effort to do so, the DHS admitted that the site they were talking about was the Phoenix Public Library. And so this is the one that the FBI has not yet given up as a supposed Russian operation.
That's so funny.
So the Arizona case is the most amusing one, and the other cases have to do with the state election officials again confronting the DHS. For example, if I remember correctly, Minnesota did this, confronted DHS officials and got them to back down on their claim that that their electoral website had been scanned or somehow. Serious effort had been made to penetrate them. And the same thing happened with California. And what came out of these various cases where the states actually stood up to the DHS was that the DHS publicly admitted that they considered that any time any public-facing website on the internet for within a state had been scanned, that this could be considered evidence of a Russian effort to penetrate the electoral system because it was a case of trying to enter a website or get into a website that might have similar characteristics. That was the wording they used. And so, I mean, this was the kind of argument that the DHS resorted to in order to include more states in their list. In fact, most of the states would come under that rubric of the fact that they that some website was scanned that could have the same characteristics as a state election-related website had. It's a very sneaky kind of approach, which I've written about before, and I think deserves public condemnation.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because when it comes to Russiagate, mostly we think of the Mueller investigation and, you know, Carter Page didn't do it and Papadopoulos didn't do it and Flynn didn't do it and Sessions didn't do it and the whole collusion narrative was fake. Yep. And then there's focus on who really hacked the DNC or leaked a thumb drive worth or whatever exactly happened with that and this kind of thing. But there's so many of these extra side stories of Russian interference that sort of made up for the, noise, essentially. Oh, they attacked our electric infrastructure. Oh, they attacked all the voter rolls. Oh, they, you know, tried to disrupt this, that, and every other thing. They had a secret server communicating with Trump. And there's just such a long laundry list. It's sort of like the way that they claimed Iran was making nuclear bombs 100,000 times, only this is just 100,000 separate fake claims. It really is a lot, and you really have a whatever percent. It may be a narrow percent, but boy, are they deeply committed to this narrative of the Russian attack on America that gave us Donald Trump's government and all of this.
Yeah, I just want to make the point, though, that this narrative about the effort to hack into the alleged effort to hack into state election websites. It has been extremely significant politically in this country because the public absolutely believes that the Russians did in fact hack into election systems. And a friend of mine who lives in California, who I spoke with on the phone, he and his wife on the phone, She piped up and said, I told her what I was working on, what I'd written about. And she said, but the Russians did hack into our election system, didn't they? And so, I mean, they absolutely believe this. And this has been extremely damaging in a fundamental sense to the stability of this political system. And by the way, I mean, you know,
and the polls show, I mean, your anecdote's great, but Jeremy Hammond wrote a piece debunking this the other day as well that we ran on antiwar.com. And he quotes the polls where among Democrats, I'm not sure overall, but certainly among Democrats, it's super majorities believe this and could never be convinced otherwise either.
Yeah, I know. It's true. Of course, it's the Democrats who fundamentally believe it. I understand that. I mean, a lot of Republicans.
But I just mean, and it's in high, high numbers, too. It's,
yes, absolutely. Yeah.
It's, and so it is, you know, we saw with Iraq War II, where the Republicans were so committed to Iraq War II, and then they never really came clean on it. It just took, you know, through by the end of the Obama years, they were able to admit that, okay, yeah, well, maybe shouldn't have done that. Not that I was wrong about it or anything, but it took that long for them to sort of climb down from that, and really for Donald Trump to finish it off by attacking Jeb the way he did really helped with that, I guess. But it took that long for the pro-Iraq war right to sort of forget all that or cease identifying with that pro-Iraq war sentiment that they had previously held. So is it going to take that long for these Democrats to get over this nonsense? A full, two-term administration post-Trump before they're willing to admit that, okay, that really was just the CIA BSing us?
Yeah, it's very, very interesting question. I don't know what the answer is. And I think, in fact, it's very possible that if there were sufficient questioning by some key people, political figures in this country, about this narrative, that it could very quickly collapse. I think that's a possibility. I think it collapse. The collapse of this could be much quicker than the one on Iraq, potentially.
When the Mueller report was wrapped up, and that was the end of that. But anyway, I'm sorry. I just realized how late I am for my next interview. But thank you so much for coming on the show to talk about this again with us, Gareth.
Been a pleasure. Thanks, Scott.
All right, you guys. That's the great Gareth Porter. He's at theamericanconservative.com. U.S. states, we weren't hacked by Russians in 2016. Stupid liars. All right, y'all. Thanks. Find me at libertarianinstitute.org, at scotthorton.org, antiwar.com, and reddit.com/Scott Horton Show. Oh yeah, and read my book, Fool's Errand, Timed and the War in Afghanistan, at foolserrand.us.